Marketing to Crush Your Competitors Podcast, Episode 8.
This is the place where successful entrepreneurs share their hustle to get where they are today. Discover how not taking no for an answer led them to achieve their goals. Learn about who inspired them and how they use marketing to crush it in their business. Get financial, spiritual, emotional, and physical tips that are working for them right now. This is the Marketing to Crush Your Competitors Podcast. Here's Fabienne Raphael.
Hi again, everybody, and welcome to Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast. Today, we have a special guest, Susan Rowan. Susan is an entrepreneur who owns her professional speaking and consulting business and is an in-demand keynote speaker. She has shared her message of connection and communication with audiences worldwide and in diverse publications, including New York Times, Globe and Mail, Cosmo, Forbes.com, and many others. Susan's first book, the classic bestseller, How to Work a Room, has sold over 1.2 million copies worldwide. How to Work a Room will give you the strategies, techniques, and tools you need to enter any room and shine. Please join me in welcoming keynote speaker, best-selling author, and the mingling maven, Susan Rowan.
Well, thank you so much, Fabienne. It's wonderful to be there with you.
Well, it's my pleasure, too, to have you as a guest. So let's get to know you a little bit better, Susan. If you had to summarize your entrepreneurial journey with one word, what would it be and why?
Well, it's two words, but it could be a hyphenated word.
Yeah.
Roller coaster. Because that's what it is for entrepreneurs. It's up one day, down another day. Mm-hmm. And that's what it is, an up and down situation.
So would you share with us a specific time when it was a roller coaster for you?
Well, I think every day is for an entrepreneur, and it's exciting. Because why do we go to amusement parks? Because we want to ride the roller coaster. Mm-hmm. This is why I don't ride roller coasters anymore. I was just at the Santa Cruz boardwalk. My friend, let's go on the roller coaster. I said, really? I'm an entrepreneur. I already have enough ups and downs. I don't. But, you know, some days there, it's for me, the downtime has to do with, oh, my God, paperwork. That's the part I don't like. But my business is a speaking business, a little bit of coaching, and, of course, writing books. But the speaking I love, filling out the forms and the paperwork, and that's always not my most fun time. This is my fun time, doing a podcast with you.
All right, that's great.
But I think the entrepreneur's journey is a journey, and it has wonderful, oh, my God, so many things have happened in my life that would never have happened if I was still a teacher, which is what I was before.
So I guess since you talk about roller coaster, you have to go through some challenges as an entrepreneur. So during those years in business, are there times that you did not take no as an answer?
You know, it's very interesting. I thought about that and I thought, there were times that I really had to push forward. And I'm going to give you the one example. When How to Work a Room, when I first wrote that proposal, my agent submitted it. No, turned down 21 times.
Wow.
And he couldn't get a publisher, the agent. And a friend of mine said, oh, the American Library Association is having a convention in San Francisco. Why don't you come with me and bring your proposal? I know there must be publishers there. Fabienne, I had flu that day. I was so sick, I couldn't see straight. And I wanted to stay in bed. But I heard that voice in my head going, okay, who's going to talk about your book better than you? And I got dressed. I find when you don't feel well, for a woman at least, if I put on enough blush on, I'm already looking better than I feel. And I went and I worked that trade show and I talked to publishers. And I'm the one that got the publisher. But I was turned down 21 times, and I found the person who said yes.
That's great. So do you feel that sometimes being a hard worker or being persistent could be a disadvantage as an entrepreneur?
Well, I think we have to work hard. I know we say we have to work smart. Mm-hmm. We also have to take some breathers. Mm-hmm. Yesterday I had my hair colored. It was in the middle of the day. But if you have your cell phone and you have your iPad, you're not out of business. You can be found, et cetera. Yeah. I think we have to build in that time to smell the roses. Mm-hmm. And I do think that working hard is important as an entrepreneur. There was a cartoon when I first started my business years ago, and it said, here's the definition of an entrepreneur: someone who will do anything to keep from getting a job. And you know what I did in all my talks? I said, no, that's wrong. An entrepreneur is someone who will do everything to keep from getting a job. And I think that's what we do when you're, I know people who switch from corporate to entrepreneur, and like they wake up and go, oh, there really is no one to do. I have to do my own copying. You know, I have to do, but it's yours and it's your time and it's your business. And what's wonderful is we can collaborate with friends, which is why I think going to events, knowing how to work a room, having a network, having what they now call a tribe or many different tribes, mm-hmm. is really important, so you're not isolated.
So you find that, you know, because now with social media, a lot of entrepreneurs tend to stay more in front of the computer and interact with people in front of the computer. So how would you differentiate, you know, being in front of the computer and just seeing the person live? What are the advantages of meeting your people live compared to just staying in front of the computer and typing?
Well, A, you won't get carpal tunnel syndrome. That's advantages. Yeah. But here's the thing. We have to be online. We have to be in rooms. In the new version, the silver anniversary version of How to Work a Room, there's a whole chapter on the new rooms. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have to be, whether it's LinkedIn, Facebook Business, Google+, Twitter, Instagram. There are so many new rooms to work. But if we forget to show up at our own professional areas, if whatever your business is, your community has a group of people who do what you do, that's like going back to college 101. I'm in National Speakers Association for a lot of years. I go to conferences and meetings. I learn from my colleagues. This year at our convention, I learned so much from my younger colleagues. But I also learned that I'm really ahead of the ballgame because I at least have been doing podcasting and being a guest on podcasts. And some of my friends have been around a while going, I don't even know what that is. So as far as I'm concerned, nothing replaces in-person face-to-face. Something magical happens serendipitously. I say something, then the other person says something, then someone else walks by and we notice their hat or their tie or whatever. And then a different conversation happens because there's what you call the you never know concept. So I think for me, what I would say to entrepreneurs is go to your local business chamber. If you belong to Rotary, go to that. Whether you're a speaker or a dry cleaner or a massage therapist or a physical therapist, be with your colleagues. A, you have a lot to offer. And be always so much you can learn and glean and make contacts. You know, this whole thing about referrals. Well, I wrote about that 20-something years ago, not just in How to Work a Room, but Secrets of Savvy Networking. You know, I woke up one day when I was writing that book, and all of a sudden I had this vision of Fiddler on the Roof, and I went, oh, my God, networking is matchmaking. Always recommend, always refer, always share. Here's my tip for entrepreneurs. If you want a lot to come back to you, be generous with your ideas, your suggestions, and with your energy. Here's the worst person in the room. They look and sound like this. Oh, hello. It's so nice to meet you. And you're almost falling asleep before they can say their last word. We really want you. It's about working a room. Work is an expenditure of energy. Bring your energy, bring your focus, bring your great stories. Tell us the last movie you saw, the best restaurant you went to. Connect with small talk.
That's good.
I hope that was a long-winded answer for a very succinct question. I hope that wasn't too much.
We like that. Thank you. So you mentioned earlier that we have to manage our time, because you mentioned, like, let's say you go to an appointment to do your hair, and then you bring in your cell phone and you're there writing emails while you're supposed to relax and take time for yourself. So I would ask you, Susan, how do you manage your time, and what's your secret for optimizing your productivity?
I'm not sure I have one. Not sure I found it yet. I think the other part of it is, having been a former teacher and an educator, what has worked for me is having been a teacher and an educator, which means no matter what, Fabienne, I don't miss deadlines. And I'll tell you why that's important. For when we are given deadlines as part of our business by our clients and customers, when we miss them and come up with an excuse, it reminds me of being a teacher and hearing the kids say, "Oh, my dog ate the homework." Yeah. Sometimes I'd have to say, "You don't even have a dog." I mean, really? I have to say this to authors. Don't miss a deadline. People, unless there's a death in the family or you've been hospitalized, people don't appreciate when something hasn't been met that was formally agreed on. So I think that works for me, having been a teacher. Plus, the other part is, we did lesson plans. So when it came to business plans, I never go to sleep at night that I don't have a list of what I need to do the next day. I think it's about organizing yourself and organizing your thoughts. My desk isn't organized, except that I know where everything is. I'm always suspicious of people that have clear desks with nothing on it. I wonder what they're doing and where they hid all the stuff. But that's just my viewpoint. But as long as you know where everything is, that you keep a good calendar. Some people keep the calendar online, and then I hear people say, "Oh, well, you know, there was a glitch in my computer, and we had a..." Really, get a paper calendar and have a backup plan that you can actually pick up. I have a date book by my left hand. Everything is written there. It's written in front of me, and it's on my desktop calendar, which sends off little alarms which annoy the living daylights out of me. Really, do I have to know my Zumba class tomorrow and it's clicking off today? But I think a lot of people do a lot online, that they actually waste more time if they just did it. By the way, let me say this to entrepreneurs. Everyone's going to try and sell you the quickest, fastest, most wonderful online thing. Have pencil and paper. Be surprised how well that works for you. And I wrote my books. I mean, before there was recycling, we teachers never wasted paper. I wrote all my books on the back of used paper. Wow. Why waste a good piece of used paper when it has an empty back that I could write on?
That's a good thing. So remember, all entrepreneurs listening to us, please, pen and paper, and just tell us what it did for you, right?
Yeah, it did. Here's another. We're talking about, you know, marketing. Yeah. We're an entrepreneur. Everything we do is about marketing. I mean, every place we go. Someone once asked me, how did you learn how to work a room? And I had to think about it. I go, what learned? My mother made me. I mean, we lived in Chicago. My mother would say at a family wedding, "Oh, go talk to my family from Toronto." And I was 12 and I had to be the conversation piece. But the other part is that I think it had to be 20 years ago. Someone asked me about the definition of how to work a room. It so applies to entrepreneurs. I said, how to work a room is what you do when no one left you an inheritance for the advertising budget. You are it. Whether you're the local cleaner, whether you're the international speaker, as am I, whether you're a coach, whether you have an accounting business, whatever the practice or profession that you're in, you are the best representation of that business. That's why you have to be seen. You're online. Rep is great and your online image is great, but you have to be seen out there so that the people in your community can help spread the word about you.
So during your journey, Susan, who would you say has influenced you the most in becoming who you are today?
Oh, I'm such a hodgepodge. I think a lot of it came from growing up with a very energetic mother who, here's her quote, and I have to say this. This is, she used to say, and it was about social things, go out, you'll never meet anyone sitting at home. And now that, now you can meet everyone, but they're not who they say they are, you know, because we all know about that online scam. But that meant be present, go out. I had a wonderful, and she made up this word, femtor. I said to her, Sally, you're my mentor. And she said to me, I can't be your mentor, I'm your femtor. Now here's the difference. I have quoted her, I give her credit, it's in every book. But an online company decided to take the word femtor, and I begged them, please give her credit because you read about it in my book. A smart entrepreneur always acknowledges and is a savvy networker who attributes and gives credit where credit is due. That's my personal plug. Plus, I have a publishing attorney and a trademark attorney because I own How to Work a Room. By the way, that's the other thing. If you have a business, you might want to look into not only that you already have the domain name, you might want to look into getting the registered mark, whether it's in Canada, the U.S., or England, wherever in country you're in, you want to own that phrase that is your business.
Let's dive into some more strategy, Susan, because you gave us a lot of tips already that we could use actually right now and implement today. Did you already get to some point when your business was stagnant or stable for a while? And if it did, what was your strategy to get out of it?
It happens every time there is an economic downturn because people don't really, they bring inside speakers, they don't hire outside speakers. So it happened in 92. And I was like, oh my goodness, I can't believe this because I was used to traveling all over to speak. And I now realize that every time there's an economic downturn, the speaking business is impacted. But I had people who were so supportive, especially one woman who worked with me in telemarketing, who said, just wait till this book comes out. And, you know, that's always, people wonder, why do I work my butt off on these books? Why would I say to a book that was perfectly fine, written in 2007, let's have a silver anniversary because it's 25 years old, brand new update, while I'm sitting at the dining room table eating chocolate and writing? That sort of goes hand in hand. But I did that because I remember what she said in 92, that when a book comes out, everything resurges and perks up. But it is tough. That's why entrepreneurs, and here's the smart entrepreneur, and my friend Michael LaBeouf, to get back to your question about a book, he's an author who wrote many great books. I think he wrote the one about management principle, but he wrote one called The Millionaire in You. And one of the things he said is smart entrepreneurs live beneath their means. They don't run out and buy the biggest car and the fanciest this and the newest this and flashy and splashy. Living beneath your means is really smart because putting money away is great. So when there are those slow times, we have something to push us through.
So during all that time you were in business, when did you realize that marketing was important for your business growth?
You know, I knew it from the beginning. I did. I was very lucky because I had been a teacher, but I'd been very active in political things in San Francisco. And I knew that marketing and PR was important. In fact, I knew I needed to learn marketing. Look, I didn't take a marketing class ever, but I knew that I didn't know about it. So what I did is I volunteered at our chamber to be the coordinator for our marketing conference for small business. And I'll never forget, I brought in, is it Jay Abraham, the guy that wrote, it's going to escape me. Wonderful man. He used to live here in Marin, and now I think he's moved. But he was a wonderful writer. He came and spoke to us, and he answered some questions about marketing. And then I'll never forget, one guy said to me, Susan, all the people I've done favors for, why don't they know what I need to help me market my business? And then I could hear my grandmother, you know, in my ear, and I kind of answered like her. I channeled her and said, really? And I said, most people don't know what they need. How can they know what you need? You got to tell them. Yeah. If you don't tell people what you need, what you're interested in, you walk into the paint store. What would you like? Well, they know you want paint. You don't want red, but if you don't tell them, I'd like a shade of peach or a shade of lavender, how can they help you? Mm-hmm. You got to tell people what you need. But the most important thing is for an entrepreneur, you have to figure out what you need and what you want. And they're different.
Mm-hmm. So did you have any struggles in marketing in your business?
Oh, it's always a struggle. It's always... Yeah, you know, I mean, do you do outbound marketing? And I did for a while. I would pick up a phone and call the people coming to the San Francisco for conventions. I remember I made 5 outbound marketing calls and booked 3 speeches. And that was a pretty phenomenal. Now, Now that was the day that people actually answered their phones and knew how to talk on. That day has kind of changed. I think from what I've understood, I do a lot of social media. Next month is my 10th anniversary as a blogger. This month, I got an anniversary tweet from Twitter. It's my 6th Twitterversary. I know. I love it. I go, I'm the only person celebrating major occasions with anniversaries with social media instead of with people. But, you know, adopting social media has changed marketing. You have to still do all the aspects of marketing. From what I've been reading and understanding, and my SEO expert who works with me has said, email marketing has proven time and time again to be more successful than all the social media we do. Now, everyone will tell you the story of I did this because of this and whatever, and that's all great, but significant research. Email marketing, so we still need to be doing that. We still need to be going out. We might need to, as an entrepreneur, be a co-sponsor of an event at our professional association. We might need to show up at our local chamber or at a charity. You know, you have to do everything until you find out something doesn't work.
So would you say that email marketing and speaking at events are you the best marketing strategies that work for you in your business?
Well, I had another one. What worked for me so that people, I don't just speak. I mean, people actually hire me to speak at conventions and for conferences. Mm-hmm. Because I wrote for the San Francisco Examiner Career Series and coordinated it, and that's a long story, I had third-party endorsement. The San Francisco Examiner at the time was a major newspaper, and to have my byline consistently in that newspaper really positioned me. But if I could tell you how many hours it took to write only a 700-word column, the amount of time I put in, I don't care what anyone says. You can work smart, but you better be willing to pay the dues. Mm-hmm. Every entrepreneur, there are a lot of little shortcuts, but overall, you got to pay your dues. You got to earn your stripes.
So up to now, Susan, you've inspired us a lot. But let us be inspired a little bit more from you, okay? So what is, from your point of view, the key to financial success?
Oh, I think that's different for everyone. For some people, it's they want millions by the time they're 30. Mm-hmm. For other people, it's to be in a position so they could donate to their charities. I think being a financial success, the key is, you know, have good financial common sense. I know some people that don't and wasted a lot of money. Oh, and by the way, so did I. By the way, there were people in the speaking business who said, oh, you must hire this person. Oh, you must attend this. Oh, you must have this person do your one sheet. You know, Fabienne, I would love back all the money I spent at the suggestion of other people, and I want all the entrepreneurs to listen to this, who were wrong for me. Just because that coach was right for everyone else, I would have just liked that money right now sitting in a compounded daily account. So I think before people tell you, well, I think people are going to tell you what you must do and what you must spend on, what you must have, please do your due diligence. Part of financial success is making wise decisions. Run it by people not trying to make money off of you. And financial successes don't have debt. I remember I went into my bank to pay my monthly credit card bill, and I paid it all off. And the young teller looked at me and said, "You paid off the whole bill." I said, "Well, yes, of course." I said, "That's how you avoid this charge or that charge or whatever." And this was kind of, I'm not sure this was a compliment. She goes, "That's what my grandfather told me." She skipped a generation. I go, "Well, you know what? If I were you, I'd listen to your grandfather. There's a little saying, and I grew up with parents who were raised in our depression, don't spend what you don't have." But on the other hand, to be an entrepreneur, you have to spend money to earn money. And that phrase is used by a lot of people who rationalize having the big office in a big, great neighborhood in a, you know what I never did? And I'm going to tell you why I think if I am a financial success, I knew that my speaking business and the fact that I spoke all over the country and the world and in Canada many, many times, I knew that I didn't need an office in some fancy building in downtown San Francisco's financial district. So I never encumbered myself with something I didn't need. Because it isn't what you earn. I learned this through National Speakers Association. It's what you keep at the end of the day. After the taxes, after the insurances. Does that make sense?
It does. It does. What was the best spiritual advice you've ever received?
Well, that was a stumper because I'm not sure that I know any of that. But I think the best was, you have to be ethical. There are 10 commandments, not 2. You know, and I guess it's the golden rule. You know, treat people the way you want to be treated. One of my friends and colleagues, Tony Alessandro, has the platinum rule. Mm-hmm. Treat people the way they want to be treated. But it's really, it goes with, to me, it's, I don't care what pew in the church or mosque or synagogue you're in. I mean, I know there are no pews in the mosque, but, you know, I don't care how close you are to that spiritual advisor. I watch how people treat people. If you're not treating people who we think can do nothing for us with respect, regard, and consideration, I don't care what religion and how much you tell me you observe, because as far as I'm concerned, how you treat people is really the essence of spirituality.
Okay, so you said as an entrepreneur, we go to a roller coaster, emotions roller coaster sometimes. So how would you say, Susan, that you gain control of your emotion?
Well, how do I gain control? I get on the scale and then I look and go, oh, I'm not that great after all. No, no, that's one of the things that I do. I think you have to have people in your life that balance you out. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's really easy to be on a high from something, but you have to have people in your network, in your life, in your real life of friends who will share your ups and people who will be there for the downs. Yeah, you know, I mean, it's like all of a sudden I have this person call me for this engagement and this one, this and this one, my article went on. Oh, here's one thing that sobered me up. I had an amazing week online. I mean, I had an article that was on nextavenue.com, a PBS, picked up by Forbes. It went viral by the end of the day. I'm like thinking I'm better than sliced bread. Then the next day, PBS put my Next Avenue article on their Facebook page. Wow. And then I read what their intro was, calling all introverts. Well, 53 introverts wrote the meanest, nastiest, critical things. I was so stunned. But then the editor, I wrote him, and the editor said, well, you know, Facebook kind of gets that from people, where people will hide behind not their name and just say mean things that they would never say to our faces. Then he pointed out something. So that nicely crushed me. So as high as I was thinking I was almighty, I looked at that and went, oh my goodness, I can't believe they said that about me. But then I read someone who said, the speaker's definition of introversion is total, the writer's definition of introversion is wrong. And I went, yeah, I never wrote anything. I never even mentioned the word introvert. So I know that people were just kind of, but then he pointed out something to me that made me realize that I had to not be upset about this. He said, look at how many likes and how many shares your article had. And my article was shared over 900 times, and it had over, no, I'm sorry, it was liked over 900 times. It was shared over 600 times because people thought it was helpful. That was the 12 questions people most asked me about working room. So every day, you know, it's something neat happens, something not so neat. But here's the one thing I'd want to say to all of our listeners and your subscribers, and that is, be a supporter and happy for other people. Because when I learn that, I write about networking. I wrote Secrets of Savvy Networking. I write about that. Follow me on Twitter, at Susan Roane, S-U-S-A-N-R-O-A-N-E dot, not dot com, just at Susan Roane. Tons of tips. But one of the ones that I learned in terms of networking is you must have an oh wow person in your life. The person that hears that you've done something well, that you can go to and say, I'm so excited this happened. And they will say in their own words, oh, wow, that's great. We all need that, and we must do that for other people.
And last tip, Susan, what is a good habit that helps you physically?
Oh, well, I work out all the time. I mean, I go to the trainer. I go to trainers twice a week to make sure that I, well, he said to me, you know, I'm having your lats look wonderful. I said, who cares about my lats? But we make sure, you know, that the physical of your muscles and everything are worked. So I go to trainer, and I literally work out, in addition to that, five more times a week between my Zumba classes and my taking walks up my hill here. I work out, that's an hour in the morning is social media, but another hour or even sometimes more a day is actual physical exercise. And you know what? I find walking, I've been doing that a lot lately, wearing a Fitbit, so I get my 10,000 steps. Walking is one of the best exercises to clear your brain, et cetera. I don't listen to any, I don't keep headsets on when I walk because I want to listen to the birds. I want to be in nature.
So to wrap it up here, Susan, is there something else you want to share with the outside team, like your words of wisdom or a success quote?
Well, I think there are a million success quotes, and you can go get them online. I think my word of wisdom is go out. You'll never meet anyone sitting at home. Go to every room you can. And I know this is going to sound very old-fashioned. 90% of us self-identify as shy, but every room, whether it's a party, a convention, a meeting, a mixer, 90% of the people in that room are nice, down-to-earth people who would welcome meeting you. The 5 or 10% that aren't that interested, they probably are just very shy or introverted, and they're still very nice people, but what you do is you just excuse yourself and go over to that nice person standing in the corner smiling, just waiting to meet you. And of course, buy my book, and you can get it audio with me giving, I was 3 days in the studio. You can get it online as an ebook. Go to your bookstores. Support your local bookstores. That would be support local business, to me, is what all entrepreneurs should be doing.
So if they want to connect with you, where can they do that, Susan?
Well, certainly my website, Susan Roane, SusanRoane.com. Twitter, Susan Roane, SusanRoane. And by the way, if you have a speaking engagement that you want me to speak for, let's go old school. call me, 415-461-3915. I mean, everyone has a phone and they keep it in their hand to check their Facebook and their email. They forget to call home because people want to hear their voice.
Great advice, Susan. Thank you so much for this great interview full of tips that inspired us during the whole interview. It was such a pleasure to have you.
Thank you, Fabienne. It's my pleasure, and I wish you the best.
Thank you.
Just because this episode of the Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast is over, doesn't mean your journey to marketing success is done. Go to marketingtocrushyourcompetitors.com/tools right now and download our free guide to the 5 tools you absolutely must have to crush it in your marketing. Download that right away, and we'll see you next time on the Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast.